I always feel sorry for Joseph. Sorry for Joseph, this man, this carpenter, this probably slightly older individual. I mean, we don't know exactly how old Joseph was, but the likelihood, and according to early church tradition, Joseph had been married before Mary. He had been married before, and his first wife probably died in childbirth. And so he was an old man. You know, he's about 30 years old. You know, isn't that old, a youth? Don't you think that's old? Yeah, it feels old to me. Of course, I'm older than that by quite a bit, but nevertheless, he was an old man at 30. He had some maturity. He had some wisdom in him. And he finds out that his fiance, the woman to whom he was engaged, his affianced, is pregnant. Ooh, that's a scandal. Here she is. She's a young girl. She's about, 14, 15, maybe 16. She's a young girl, never been married, engaged to Joseph of Nazareth, a carpenter, and she turns up pregnant. It would have been within his rights to have her stoned, to have her killed, or certainly to be discredited in the community. He could have embarrassed her terribly. And instead, he was kind. Scripture says he was righteous. Instead of embarrassing her, instead of having her killed, he simply was going to put her away quietly. Not marry her, but send her away quietly to have the baby somewhere else and be out of his life. He didn't want to hurt her, but he wasn't going to marry her. And in the midst of this decision, in the midst of this quandary, and it must have hurt, in the midst of this decision, he has a dream. And in the dream, an angel comes to him. And these words that the angels speak are words that cause him to just stop in his tracks, stop his plan, stop what he is intending to do. For the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Well, right there, that would make me very afraid. I mean, this is a special girl. If God is going to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, conceive a child in her, I'm not sure I want to get too close to this girl. Wow, she's really specially favored. I'm a little bit worried about this. And the child. I mean, what does the angel say about the child? "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Not only is she pregnant with a boy by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only is she with child, as the anachronistic saying goes, with child of the Holy Spirit, but this is to be someone named Yeshua, which means literally in Hebrew, Yahweh delivers, Yahweh saves. And he is going to save the people, deliver the people, his people, not any people, his people, from their sins. So this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. This child is named Yahweh delivers, Yahweh saves, and he is going to save his people from their sins. The only person who gets to say "my people" is God and a king. I'm sorry, Joseph has a lot of guts. He has a lot of guts to not go running away from this situation. Yeah, sure, don't discredit her, don't embarrass her, but send her away, get her far away. If she is bearing a divine child, if she's going to bring a divine child into the world who is named Yahweh Saves, and he's going to save his people, I don't have any business being the adopted dad of this kid. I feel very sorry for Joseph. Of course, you have to realize that that name Yeshua was a very common name to the Hebrew people. It was like Tom or Jerry or Fred or Barney or Henry or George. It was a common male name. And we know it in the Old Testament as Joshua. Yep, that's Jesus' name. And it literally means Yahweh saves, Yahweh delivers. But it was a common, everyday Jewish name. He's told to name this kid that. And he wakes up, and he doesn't go screaming, running away. He takes her as his wife. And he doesn't have marital relations with her, we all know what that means, until the child is born. And then he does exactly what the angel told him to do. He names him Yeshua. He names him Jesus. So, I feel sorry for Joseph. Placed in this situation, and the angel says, don't be afraid, don't send her away, but take her as your wife. For the child in her is incarnate of the Holy Spirit, is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he will be named Yahweh Saves, and he'll deliver his people from their sins. Scary calling to be the adopted dad of a kid like that, but a calling nevertheless. Joseph is impressive to me, and he's often just sped through and then overlooked, because he does disappear pretty quickly after Jesus' 12th birthday. We don't hear about him much anymore. But what a saintly man to obey the word of this angel. Even though it's kind of scary, he obeys it. And he names his son, this special son, this son who had been conceived by the Holy Spirit, this special boy, he names him Yeshua, Yahweh Saves. But what about this other name? This name that we heard about from the reading in Isaiah today, and which the author here in Matthew says, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel and Jesus are two very different names, friends. There's only two letters that they share in common, an E and a U in English. And it's even worse in Hebrew, for in Hebrew there are no vowel letters, it's all consonants, so there's no letter between the two that's in common in written form. What, this name Emmanuel and this name Jesus, they are two very different names, at least on the surface. Except as you heard in the children's sermon, Emmanuel in Hebrew, Emmanuel means the with us God, the residing God, the present God, the near us God, the God who is with us, which is how the New Testament author explains the name, meaning of the name. The God who is with us, or God is with us. He is to be named Emmanuel, the one, the God who is with us. That's who this Yeshua is. That's who this Jesus of Nazareth is. That's who this Joshua Nanzianzus is with, he is Emmanuel, God with us. That must have been really frightening, Joseph, to think about the idea that here in this baby, in this tiny baby, is the creator of the entire universe. If I had been Joseph, I'm not sure I would have stood up and accepted the challenge. It would have been terrifying. We normally gloss over the fact that they weren't yet married. Joseph and Mary were not yet married. They were just engaged. He could have gotten out of the situation very easily. He could have gotten out of it and protected her still and not have to do this job that the angel was giving him. And yet he stood up and did what he was told to do. He obeyed. And the basic action in this is a faith action. He did what he was told to do. He obeyed and acted in faith and did what the angel told him to do. He took her as his wife. And they eventually ended up in Bethlehem to be registered when the baby was born. Now, we're in the fourth Sunday of Advent, the end of the season of Advent, the end of the season of preparation, the end of the time of getting ready. And we began Advent looking forward to the future, to the second coming of Jesus. And then we turned on the third Sunday of Advent and started looking back to the first coming of Jesus, in the first Advent, in the first Christmas. And now we're on the fourth Sunday, and this week we celebrate Christmas. And just as happens every year, yet again this year, I started seeing things on Facebook and getting email stuff saying, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Shock of all shocks. They've been lying to you. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Wasn't born on December 24th. Wasn't born on December 26th. He wasn't born in December. The shepherds do not go out and shiver in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. It does snow in Palestine, you know. Look at that, I got my cross tied up. There. That's a way to solve that problem. The shepherds were not out in the fields in the middle of December, friends. No. Jesus wasn't born in December. Huh? Well, then what are we doing? Why do we do this in the church? Well, the simple fact is that about the 3rd century A.D., on into the 4th century A.D., when Christianity became the religion of the Roman Empire, there was a great big party that happened this time of year called the Celebration of Saturnalia. It's also the winter solstice. It's also the time of the year when we have the longest night of the year. And traditionally, depending on where you are on the globe, the longest night and the deepest point of winter. Just had it, just a day ago. And this time of year was a point in time when many cultures did have a great big party, a great big celebration. And since the church couldn't stop that party, they decided to start observing something very important at the party, something that was not currently being celebrated in the church at any other time. We had Easter. We celebrated the death and resurrection of Jesus with Holy Week and Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. We had that point in our calendar. Well, what about if we're going to celebrate and remember and give thanks to God for his life, ministry, death, and resurrection? What about his birth? So instead of stopping the party, they changed the focus. But they didn't know when they were doing it, but they were actually recognizing something very important with the date. When was Jesus born? Depends on who you ask. A lot of people will say Jesus was born in the spring. But if you take a look at the Gospel of St. Luke, and I've written an article about this, you can find it on my website. If you take a look at the Gospel of St. Luke and at the information that's given in that Gospel, you'll see that you can date, actually identify when Jesus was born based upon the birth of John the Baptist. You can calculate Jesus' birth based upon the birth of John the Baptist. And when you run the birth of John the Baptist and then calculate out the birth of Jesus, you find out Jesus was born in September, towards the end of the month. If you go back from September, 9 months, where do you come to the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel unto Mary and unto Joseph? What date do you have the event that we read about today, where he has this dream, he finds out that Mary's pregnant, and he has this dream, and the angel says, don't be afraid, take her as your wife, for the child to be born will save the people from their sins. Name him Yeshua. What date do we come to? If you go back from September the 23rd or 4th by 9 months, what do you get? December the 24th. Yes, you do. What we've done, essentially, is celebrate the incarnation itself and the whole event that that is. We celebrate the conception of Christ. We celebrate His conception, His incarnation, His coming to be with us. And that whole event, which of course culminates with the birth 9 months later. So we can indeed celebrate now the whole event, the incarnation and birth, celebrating it as a whole package beginning now. Why? Because it is this baby, this Yeshua, this Jesus of Nazareth, this Emmanuel who is God with us. It is this child who would grow up to teach us how much God loves us by stretching out His arms on the hardwood of the cross and dying for our sins. Yes, the death and resurrection is the highlight, central focus moment of the history of the universe. But to get to that day, to get to His death and to get to His resurrection, you first have to have Him born. And to have Him born, you first have to have Him conceived. God has to come to be with us in this Jesus of Nazareth. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. Not decorations, as beautiful as they are. Not trees, as lovely as they are. Not poinsettias, as pretty as they are. Not sleigh bells, as pretty as it is. Certainly not ice and snow. Can I get an amen? Amen. Had enough of that. Not candles, as lovely as they are, as symbolic as they are, of the light of God's Word shining forth in the darkness. Not candles, not reindeers and Santa Clauses, not presents other than the great eternal present that God has given us, the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. My brothers and sisters, this season is not about the trappings, as pretty and as wonderful as they are. This season is about recognizing the coming of God to be with us in Jesus Christ. This celebration, this year and every year, may it be a time of turning back to look at what it means for God to live with us, in us, and among us, to be truly our Emmanuel, our God with us, revealed in us. You notice the song, those words, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. God is to be revealed not just to us, but within us, so that we can turn and reveal God, share God with all whom we meet, with words and deeds of grace. We're called to reach out to others with the hands of the Christ child, the heart of the Christ child, the lips of the Christ child, speaking words of love, forgiveness, calling, acceptance, guidance. We are called to speak and to act with the love of God, sharing that love with all. That's what we begin with this season. That's what we begin in Advent, getting ready for His second coming, getting ready to celebrate His first coming, so that when we celebrate it, we can be ready to share the love of God, the gospel, the good news. You know why we call it the gospel? The gospel, the euangelion in Greek, was the proclamation of the birth of the emperor. The church chose the word euangelion, Paul used the word euangelion to speak about the proclamation of Jesus, the good news to all. And the Roman Empire used that word, euangelion, to say, hey, the emperor's born. Well, friends, our king, our emperor, our leader, our God has been born in Jesus Christ. And we are called to proclaim him. Proclaim his coming to be with us, his incarnation as that little baby who would grow up and share the love of God with all by saving us all from our sins. My brothers and sisters, this Christmas, recognize the glorious good news that God is with us. Emmanuel, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is with us. And share him, his words, his deeds, his calling with all. Make that your Christmas present to others. The good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.